4, verses 1 through 7. Hear the reading of God's word. Therefore, let us fear while a promise remains of entering his rest. Any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. So, you probably recognize a lot of that because you heard it last week from Hebrews chapter 3. So, when he says, therefore, let us fear while the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear that any one of you may seem to have come short of it. So, it's important for us to recognize the need for the fear of God in our lives. The scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Everything that is wonderful and good begins with the fear of God. We were reading this morning how Paul was talking to the Corinthian church about wanting them to have the same mind and the same understanding of things. I believe that this is true. I believe that where the fear of the Lord God increases in our life, because again, remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. If you fear God, then you're going to listen to God. You're going to revere God, and you're going to revere his word. And the more we revere him and the more we revere his word, the more we come into unity. What little small things we may, think that's different in what we believe, probably it wouldn't amount to much if we're walking in the fear of God. But he's saying fear. I think there's fear of God that's implied here, but there's also a fear of not entering the rest of God. So that's why we need to read this. That's the reason we need to discover what he's talking about. What does he mean by entering the rest of God? And so let's just continue reading. I think we're going to see him explain really exactly what he's talking about. So he says in verse 2, for indeed we have had good news preached to us. He's talking to the church, right? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Hebrew Christians, if you will. He's talking to the believers. And he's saying, for indeed we've had good news preached to us, just as they also. It was just a different kind of good news. In the new covenant, we've had the good news of Jesus Christ preached to us. But for them, what was preached to them? Well, I'll tell you what was preached to them. It was a revelation of the hand of God working through Moses to bring them out of Egypt. I mean, think about it. They received the word of the Lord, and every one of them made sure that there was blood over the doorpost of their house. They saw all the mighty plagues, and they understood that it was all coming at the hands of God. And then after that final plague, they were delivered from their bondage. Over 400 years of bondage, and they were delivered and walked out of Egypt. A whole nation of people walked out into the wilderness. walked out to the edge of the Red Sea, only to find that the Egyptian army by now had decided, what are we doing? What have we done? We let all our slaves go. We got to go get them or kill them. And so here comes the army, and God tells Moses to stretch out his staff. And all of a sudden, the waters are parted, and the wind blows, and the ground is dried up miraculously, and the whole nation walks through the Red Sea. Hallelujah. And then the army decides to follow, and God collapses the walls up on the army and destroys their foes right there before their eyes. Continues to lead them through the wilderness. Feeds them with manna day and night. Feeds them daily, their daily bread. Gives them water to drink. Provides meat for them. Puts up with all of their complaining. Gives to them His very law. Writes it down on stones Himself. And presents it to Moses to be able to present before the people. So now they have the law of God, the written word of God. And yet in the midst of it all, when they're led up to the edge of the promised land, they do not believe God. And as a result, they were unable to enter His rest. As a matter of fact, there were quite a few times on that journey. It began with the waters, the bitter waters. It began with no water, and God leading Moses to strike the rock, and then later to speak to the rock, but he struck it in disobedience. But it was at those moments that they were testing God, that they were trying God, and yet God was speaking to them. God was witnessing to them, and it was not united with faith. It was unbelief that kept them from being able to enter into the rest of God. So what he's saying is, you, the church, you're entering into the rest of God if you're trusting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing the gospel that's been preached to you. But these, the good news that was preached to them, it may not have been Jesus, but it still would have saved their lives. It still would have caused them to walk in obedience to the Lord and experience all of His goodness. But instead, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because what was spoken to them was not united by faith. I want to tell you right now that what I'm seeing is that the rest of God has something to do with being united with Him in faith in what He has said and what He has done. So mark that down for a moment and just sort of, this is what we see thus far. Look at verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest. So there it is. We who have believed in Christ Jesus enter that rest. But I would say that there's another way. There's two applications there. Those who believe in Christ Jesus have entered that rest. But we who have believed, period, believed God, put our faith and our trust in Him, in His Word, enter His rest. Just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. And so what he's fixing to talk about is creation. What happened in creation. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Isn't that good? God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Spoke things into existence. His word went forth out of his mouth. For 6 days, creation was coming into being. The order of it is amazing to me. The earth was there. It was form. It was without form and void. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. It appears as though the whole thing was covered in water. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It wasn't the sun, because the sun wasn't created yet. Later, the sun is created, and the moon is created. Isn't that wild? Because we know that our planet orbits around the sun. And scientists say that, you know, there's an explosion, your sun star is created, and then everything else is created. But that's not the way God did it. God created the earth. God took hold of this planet. And then after he said, "Let there be light," a day or two later, he created the sun and the lesser light, the moon, and then he created the stars. Hallelujah. What's interesting about it, and we've talked about this before, how big our galaxy is. It's really unfathomable how big it is, and that there are other galaxies. But what scientists have said is that it's all still expanding at the speed of light. In other words, God sat down on the seventh day, and he didn't have anything else to do. He rested. But his word continued to cause the universe to expand, continued to cause everything to operate in order and stay in its proper orbit and alignment. It's amazing. It's unbelievable what our God has done. And he sat down and he rested from his work. And so, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, listen to this. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God." You hear that? The worlds, not just the earth, the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Hallelujah. He spoke it. Another translation, that last part of that verse, another translation says, no, I take that back. Next verse I'm going to show you. I'll just go ahead and show it to you. Romans 4:17, "As it is written, 'A father of many nations I've made you, in the presence of him whom he believed,' God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." This is the nature of Almighty God. And that verse, the end of it, an alternative ending, which is translated, "calls the things that do not exist as existing." Hallelujah. Our God is the creator. But we've been made in his image. And so the scripture's talking to us about a Sabbath rest. And we sometimes look at the Sabbath rest and we think, okay, that's a day. That's on the Sabbath day. But think about it. If he was talking about the Sabbath day when he was talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, they all observed the Sabbath. They had a Sabbath day rest every single week. They all ceased from their work. And, you know, as far as the manna goes, on that day before the Sabbath, they could gather for 2 days and it wouldn't rot. And therefore, they would have enough for the Sabbath day, right? But this is not talking about, this Sabbath rest is not talking about the Sabbath day. As important as it is, and I'll tell you right now, every one of us need a Sabbath day. We need a day of rest. It's required. I mean, it's just not something that God wants for us. It's good for your health. You need a break from what you're doing. But this is not talking about the Sabbath day. It's talking about a Sabbath rest, which is something different. It has to do with believing God, believing His Word, trusting Him. There is a rest for the people of God, a rest that we need to enter. And so verse 5 says, "And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it," enter what? His rest. "And those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter it because of disobedience," he again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, "Today if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." So, you have the children of Israel being disobedient, unbelieving in the book of Exodus, in the book of Numbers, right? And it records it. Records this very thing. Then David speaks about it hundreds of years later, right? And he says today, in Psalm 95, he says today, the Holy Spirit says today if you'll hear his voice. Speaking of another day. That's what Hebrews is now saying. There was another day. David said there's another day to believe. There's another day to enter his rest. And Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, then says it again. There is today. I'm talking to the church now. To the church. Today is the day. And now I'm reading Hebrews to you today. And today, May 3rd, 2026, is the day that the Holy Spirit is saying, do not harden your hearts, but enter His rest. Okay? It's always today. It's always time to respond to the call of God to put your faith and your trust in Him. So in verse 8 it says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that." If Joshua had given them rest, David wouldn't spoke of another day in Psalm 95. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. But not the Sabbath. That's not what we're talking about here. A Sabbath rest is different from the Sabbath day. Because everybody can observe the Sabbath day and still not enter into the Sabbath rest. Okay? Verse 10. "For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his." So what you're saying is, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that for every Christian, when you enter into the rest of God, you do it the same way God did when on the days of creation. He spoke it into existence. He believed the word that he spoke, and he sat down on the seventh day, and it all just kept going. And what he's saying is that you and I need to believe and trust in the Word of God. Put our faith in it. Work and labor to enter the rest of being able to sit down in faith and trust that the Word of God is working on our behalf. Can we read it again? "For the one who has entered his rest, that person has himself also rested from his work." What's the work? The work for God was the creation. The work for us is believing the Word of God, the creative Word of God. The Word of God, which has the ability to create and even work not only in every age past, but today, and for every generation beyond us. The Word of God. Hallelujah. We're fixing to read some good stuff. Therefore, let us be diligent. Now he's talking to the church again. Therefore, let all of us in the church, every Christian, be diligent to enter that rest. Well, but it already said, if you believe in Christ, you've entered that rest. Are you saying I need to get saved every day? No, not saying that. I'm saying that once you get saved, and all of the riches of the glorious inheritance of Christ and the saints has been deposited into your life, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy trusting God and resting. Trusting God and resting. What we do, we say, Lord, we're trusting you for this. Oh, I wonder if it's ever going to, well, it hadn't happened yet. It may not ever happen. What does that sound like? That sounds like double-mindedness that James talks about. What happens to a double-minded person? Probably not going to receive anything. Why? Because we're still wishy-washy. We have not yet come to the decision where we've decided to unite our faith with the Word of God. But that's what we've got to do. Not just in your salvation. You've done it with your salvation. But now it's time to do it in every other aspect of your life. In every trial and tribulation that you go through. In every in everything that concerns knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. How to walk in the weaponry of our warfare. Knowing how to live as one who is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's so much that we need to embrace and believe. And when we believe, we start entering into the rest of God. That's where the peace of God begins to rule our hearts and minds. Why? Because we're trusting Him. We're trusting Him. Our faith is in Him. Be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through the same example of disobedience. Why? For the Word of God. This is it. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He's not just talking about salvation, y'all. He's talking about everything that salvation has opened up for us. He's talking about everything that God has placed within our life as a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's time to start finding out how to stand on the wonderful, precious promises of God, because the New Testament says they're all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That means God has promised so many wonderful things for us. And those promises which may have been made to Israel are now our promises. They belong to us. And in Jesus, they're yes and amen. Hallelujah. The church can stand on all the promises of God. And when we stand, guess what we do? We wind up taking a seat. In rest. Because you're not standing on your legs. You're not laboring with your legs anymore. You're resting in God. In His promises. In His Word. In the truth of God. His ability to perform His Word. His ability to bring it. His ability to bring it in your life. In your life. For this is it. For this is it. It's not. It's not. It's not something that get the job done. It's active. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides everything. When you've got something that can go and judge the very thoughts and intentions of the heart, I mean, and pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit? Put your faith. Who are you praying for? Who are you praying for that hasn't bowed a knee to the Lord Jesus yet? The Word of God has the ability to pierce to the division of that person's soul and spirit. Do you think God can't bring that person to salvation? Yes, He can. Enter into the rest of God as you have faith in Him and His Word for that person. We could go on and talk about so much concerning that verse and how far it goes, because it covers everything within the realm of human existence and beyond. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. There's nobody that He can't reach. There's nobody He can't do surgery on. There's nowhere that His Word can't work. There's nobody that's too far gone. The Scripture Bobby was talking about today, we have the ability to snatch people from the gates of hell. They're right there on the edge of going to hell, and we have the ability to bring them back. Well, how do you think we do? You think we're just going to say, hey, turn around, come back? We can say, hey, turn around, come back to God. Hey, Lord, I'm standing on Your Word. I'm trusting You for their salvation. Hallelujah. There's no creature that's hidden from His sight. There's not anything about you and about me that's hidden from the sight of God. Everything is open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So where's His Word going to go and work? Where is this living, powerful Word going to work? How many things are you supposed to enter into the rest of God concerning? Well, everything that's open and laid bare to the eyes of Him. And everything's open and laid bare with every person on the planet. There's nothing He doesn't see. Nowhere He can't go. Nothing He can't change. No miracle He can't perform. But He says, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Apparently, when He comes back, the first thing He's going to be looking for is faith. Who's trusting Me? Who's believing Me? Who's labored in the Word of God to get a hold of the promise upon which they can stand, and then has believed it and entered into My rest as a result of it? Just looking to Me, waiting for Me to do the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Say what you believe. Hallelujah. When we read that Apostles' Creed, we're putting forth our confession. But that's not just our only confession. That's a good one. But it doesn't include everything. Everything that we need to confess the Word of God daily. We need to let the Lord know what we're believing and why we're believing it and who our faith and our trust is in. That's our confession. Hallelujah. We've got a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed through the heavens. Therefore, hold fast your confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So, where do you need to enter into His rest? Well, I know from this verse, He sympathizes with our weaknesses, so concerning our weaknesses. Every single weakness we have, we need to learn how to bring it before the Lord God and stand on His Word so we can enter into His rest. He wants rest for His children. And the rest comes when we believe, when we trust. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Let every Christian draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, Christians, our need is not to be saved again. Our need has to do with all of those people that are on our heart to be praying for the things that are going on in our own life where we need help, where we need wisdom, where we need to know more from God, where we need His direction. And it's where the help that we need to lead people to Jesus, to be an effective witness for Him in His kingdom, in this hour, in this very day. There are people out there who need Jesus Christ, and we need to find a way to get involved in their affairs. And I'm sure it begins on our knees in prayer, trusting, asking God to change their hearts and their lives, to do a work, a mighty work. We need to believe again. We need to be determined that we're going to trust Him, that we're going to do the work that it takes to enter into the rest of God, which means we'll be standing on His Word, trusting Him, because His Word is able to do the work and go anywhere and get it done. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to know you can come to the throne of grace, that He made a way open through His blood so that we can come into the very holy of holies, approach the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And find help every single time. I'm going to invite the musicians to come, and we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. And as we do, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you today, if there's some way in which you need to renew your faith and reach out to God once again, and maybe you need prayer concerning that. Maybe you need to take a step of faith, trusting God for whatever it is that's on your heart, or whoever it is that's on your heart. But we're here today to pray with you. We'll talk to you after church if need be, and just know that God's Spirit is here in this place. And this is a place where we can find the mercy of God, and we can find help in our time of need right now as we sing.